Are you on dope?
Yes.
What kind?
Musical dope.
You get high?
Yes.
Off of what?
Music.
Are you on a trip or something?
Yes.
What kind of a trip?
Music.
How old are you?
I'm old in mind, but young in age.
Hey, this is Brianna Marie, and you're listening to the art of vocal and instrumental sound combined to produce harmony and emotion on Soul Discovery.
Hi, this is Mike Culture, Robbie Love, from Los Angeles, California, USA. And you're listening to Soul Discovery,
uniting the past, the present, and the future for the legacy of our music.
Does that sound? Mary Love. Lay This Burden Down. With the Arthur Wright Orchestra. Yes, couldn't get any better than that, can it? Modern Records out of Los Angeles. The same label that brought you John Lee Hooker, Little Richard, Etta James, Tina Turner, Ike and Tina Turner. And live on the phones from Los Angeles, My Culture, Robbie Love. Hello, Robbie.
Hi, Mick.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Don't it sound wonderful, that track?
Yeah. Wow. Just to hear her voice, you know, I'm just so happy that she did all the things that she did, because she's not physically here, but we can still hear her voice. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And well, we'll come on to your voice a bit later on, but let's talk about What was it like growing up with your mum and the surrounding, what was happening with you?
Wow. Ooh, where do I start? Well, you know, as a kid, you know, my mom was Mary Love when I was born. So, you know, like my first time ever in a recording studio, I was 2 weeks old. And I slept through the whole session until the music stopped, my mom said. And as soon as the music stopped, I woke up. But it was such a normal to me and my brothers. Of course, I know I could speak for them. It was normal for us, the atmosphere, because we had become so accustomed to it. But yet, it was really normal in the sense that we had a normal upbringing as kids, although my mom was Mary Love, you know. But it was a wonderful upbringing. You know, it had all of its twists and turns and learning lessons and, you know, and things going on. We were surrounded by nothing but musicians and entertainers all of our lives, you know. And but like I say, yeah, it was just so normal for us, Mick.
Yeah, well, normal. What do you call normal? Normal playing shooting pool with Dennis Edwards. Come on.
Well, you know, that's the thing, because it was just like, when I say normal, it was normal for us in the sense that that's all we knew. We knew other aspects of living and being normal kids and everything, but that was just so normal for us that it was, you know, I guess it wasn't something that we just got overly excited about when we first realized that, hey, your mother is who she is, you know.
Well, yeah, and so it just wasn't your mother either. It was your uncle, Charles Wright. How do you have an uncle like that? You know, oh.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's an absolutely amazing human being, actually. And we practically lived at his house in the Hollywood Hills, man. Like little kids running through his house, rambunctious. All in his refrigerator and things. He was just Uncle Charles, you know, and that was the atmosphere that was created around us, you know. The musicians and entertainers, they were like family because, you know, we were kids, so we weren't going to the nightclubs and watching the shows and things like that. We were just fortunate that they came over to our home and we were introduced to them. And, you know, sometimes they'll bring their guitars or whatever, they'll play and then we get an idea of, you know, what they do and everything. So, but other than that, they were just like Uncle Charles, you know, Uncle this person, Uncle that person, you know.
Wow. But, wow. Yeah. What a dream. People living outside your bubble, just this is a special, special time. And then you have people knocking on your door. You don't get people like this walking up to your door and knocking on it, do you? Willie Hutch.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because actually, the last time I saw Willie, I was knocking on my mom's door. Myself and my son Jason and my daughter Janae, and we were just going to my mom's house, you know, just as, hey, what are you up to, kind of thing, you know. And knocked on the door, and she opened the door. She said, "Hey, come on in. Look who's here." And that's Willie Hutch sitting down there, and he was reading something, but the TV was on, and my mom was in the kitchen cooking, so he's waiting on dinner, you know. Yeah, so that was the last time that I saw Willie Hutch.
Talking about the man, let's listen to him.
Talk to me. Yeah, baby, won't you talk to me? They say experience is the best teacher. You know, I've had enough for the two of us. I know things are gonna always be your way, and they'll never, never, never be mine. But baby, we can work it out. We just give ourselves a little time. So baby, won't you talk to me? Whenever you say, oh, talk to me, yeah, yeah. Don't you know it will be the same? Ooh, yeah. Ah, talk to me, yeah. Whenever you're lonely, you can always count on me, baby.
Legend of Willie Hutch, Talk to Me, taken from the album Ode to My Lady, 1975, Tamla Motown Records. And Robbie Love just happens to sit down and eat food with him in her house.
Yeah.
What we all dream of. Yeah, fantastic upbringing, absolutely wonderful. Sounded like absolutely amazing times. And your mum was working, and then she got discovered by Sam Cooke.
Yeah. And you know what's amazing, though, Mick? Because when we were growing up, of course, my mom was just full force with everything. She was just, you know, she was being Mary Love, you know? And so she never really sat down and told us, like, everything, like all of the different, you know, the steps that she took and, you know, intricate details about things, which is actually cool because when she, you know, passed away, I learned so much about my mom. And it was so refreshing and it wowed me like, wow. And it gave me, so much more respect for her and the things that she was doing. She was amazing, man.
Yeah, and the daughter's not far off, I tell you. You're an amazing Aww. Person yourself. Yeah. Aww. So Hal Davis found a stage name for her. That was, that was nice. Where did the Mary Love come from then? Do you know the story?
Well, what I can remember pretty much is that when she became, you know, a part of that little management thing with Hal Davis and Mark Gordon, you know, she was born Mary Ann Allen. So that wasn't, you know, a commercial type of, you know, stage name. Mm. So, but they named her Love. And what I'm thinking, because she's such a loving person, it was perfect. Mary Love.
Yeah, it does sound like it. And of course, later on with the theme of her label, Co-Love Records, and of course, everything with gospel regarding love as well. So that was quite apt for that name. But like you said, she was working with Mark Gordon, etc. But she got signed by Motown, and then she moved over to Modern Records. Mm-hmm. With Mark Gordon, who created that fantastic dance record, A Touch of Venus. She also released 6 tracks on that label as well. But it was some wonderful, wonderful tracks. And this one, you've got to tell everybody the story about this late. Let's play this track and then tell them what you were actually doing at the time.
Okay.
You turned my bitter into sweet. Boy, you turned my bitter into sweet.
Yeah.
just joining us live on the phones, Robbie Love from Los Angeles, USA. Tell our listeners about that story, about that wonderful record.
Wow, Bitter Into Sweet. You know, Mick, at that time, I was probably being burped by my mom. She was probably holding me on her chest and burping me at the time. Yes.
So how many months old were you?
Roughly. What year? That was 65, right?
Yes, at 65, yeah. Yeah.
What month was that?
Oh, I don't know. Give me a chance. Oh, I'm not that good.
Now, I do know one song was released in January, but I can't remember if it was this one or which one it actually was. But if this one was in January of 65, I wasn't born yet.
No, well, that's not you then.
I was on the way, though. Yes. Yeah.
But you can't remember anything, I suppose.
No, I just remember hearing it all my life. And when we were kids, Mick, my brothers and I, we liked to play Frisbees. I know it sounds crazy because you guys love vinyl over there. And we would just play Frisbees with the records. I'll never forget Dance, 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 Children Dance, and all the records. We had all of them, you know. We were just having fun, and we never broke them or anything like that, but we were having fun. My mom kind of let us get loose a little bit, whatever. But, yeah, we just had such a wonderful, fun, you know, upbringing with my mother.
Yeah, you know that sacrilege, playing Frisbees with records, don't you?
I know, but you know, I have to tell you the truth. No, oh my God, and they're coming back now, and I just absolutely love it.
I know some collectors, I won't say their names because I'll get them in trouble, but they know who they are, they'll be listening, that actually done the same thing as what you did with their records, playing Frisbees.
Really?
Yes, until they found out how much they were really worth.
Oh yeah. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, so let's move you on a slight touch to the age of 12. You actually recorded with your mum.
Yeah, I sure did. I was like very shy to sing. I could sing very well, but I was shy, and I used to hide behind album covers just to sing and everything. But my mom was recording an album, and she wanted me a part of it. So she said that she wanted me to sing the background. So I'm like, yeah, okay, sing the backgrounds. And you know, she paid me, and she said, now you are a professional singer. I said, wow. And Mick, from that point on, I put the album covers down.
Yeah, well, your mum's quote is, once you've been paid to sing, you become an official pro. Mm-hmm. I sing all the time, but no one ever pays me. So there you go. There's the difference. Let's listen to the track, shall we? This is amazing.
Okay. All right.
Shows up in the light that I believe in. To know
Yes, absolutely wonderful record. Discovered recently and was released by Joel Semple Brockman for George Semple Studios. And live on the phone, Robbie Love. Robbie, you were on that record in background vocals. Incredible, incredible.
Thank you, Mick. Yeah, that was that's definitely was me. You know, I was sitting here while I was listening. I just thought the other day, I just passed by that studio, as a matter of fact. I was looking over there because we used to spend the night in that studio. I will never forget. It was Bird Cliff Studios, and it's inside of, what is currently Sony Studios in Culver City. And I was over there the other day just passing by, and my mind went right to the day or the evening that we recorded More Love and Then Some.
Believe it or not, and I just recently discovered on the background vocals, apart from yourself, was Fontella Bass.
You know, yeah, because there were people that were coming in when we weren't there recording as well. And so, yes, sure was, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, you just keep dropping them, don't you? Trot these names out of the blue. Fantastic. Let's talk about your mum briefly. So that was that with you for the first time recording with her on that record. Then and then she went on a tour. She went with George Semple in these recording studios, and she worked with people like Brenton Wood, etc., doing background vocals, etc., on his stuff. And then she toured in 78 with Ike and Tina Turner around Japan. So were you at home then, or what was happening with your life while she was touring?
Well, we were here in Southern California, in Los Angeles, California, with, you know, people that were caring for us at the time. And we were so missing our mom, man. You know, that's another aspect of our lives as well. You know, is charmed and everything when you are meeting famous entertainers. And actually, when we were growing up, we didn't even know how famous a lot of them were. They were just there, and we were just there, you know, until we found out. Like, say, for instance, Michael Wyckoff, rest in peace, forgive me, Michael. He's someone that was at our house a lot, and he hung out with me and my brothers a lot because he used to like to crack jokes, and he was always there when the meals were about to come around, you know. But but during that time when my mom was on tour, it was a little rough on us, Mick, because we missed her, you know, and we had gotten older at that time and, you know, just wanted her to be around a little more. But, you know, we understood, you know, that was our life. That was her life. And she was making a good life for us, a better life than she had for herself, you know. So I had to grow up fast and understand a lot of things, you know, that was going on and everything. So there was some good, there was some bad, you know, that happens in everybody's life. But during that time, I really, really, really missed my mom.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying there. But Michael Wyckoff, there you go. There's another name you just dropped. Stop it, please.
Wow. Do you know? And you know what? I didn't know, first of all, that he was the guy that came up with that song. Got me looking up to you. He was just there with us, like, cracking jokes, making us laugh. We're eating together. He just stopped by like family. And then I found out who he was and that song, because they didn't come around us and say, hey, my name is this person. I'm this person. And, you know, I recorded this. Did you hear this on the radio? None of that. Like, even with Wally Ali, I didn't even know that he was with Patrice Rushen.
Yeah, we've got Wally coming up on an interview very shortly, so that'll be quite exciting. So that's been arranged. So yes, and hopefully you two are going to get together. But that's top secret, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about this, because you were saying you didn't know it was Michael Wyckoff singing "Looking Up to You." When I first got to know you, I didn't know this was you in the lead vocals. I had this record for years and years as a brand new release, and I was just blown away when you told me it was you.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Wow.
Wow. be alright. Gotta go by what you tell me. Just a little sign to show I'm your lover girl.
Lover girl,
I could get all my confidence back. Open up and let it out. Say the words I wanna hear. I'll show you what love's all about.
When I found out that was you, I've never been so excited in all my life to know who the female lead singer on that was. You can tell the listeners the name of the group.
That is Rave singing a Ron Keefe cover of Gotta Go By What You Tell Me.
Yeah, why the Ron Keefe? Why cover that?
You know, it was presented to me by my mom. At the time, she was doing some work with someone from the UK on some production work, and she presented me with the, you know, the opportunity to cover that song. And I said, "Okay, let's go, let's do it."
Yeah, that was the label was Home of the Brave. Did anything else come out on that label?
No, nothing else came out of that label. That was something that. One of those label type of situations where you're, you know, putting out some productions of, you know, a quantity of productions, and you, you know, come up with a name so you can get the pressed up and everything. So I just did the song. I did it for my mom. I didn't do it for anything else other than for that. And the name Rave came from my cousin, actually.
Are they famous?
No, she's my first cousin, my Aunt Renee, my mom's sister's daughter. And she said, "Let's name you Rave." And I thought it was really kind of nice, you know. Yes. I said, "Okay, let's go with it."
Okay. That record's very collectible, and so's the Ron Keefe version as well. They're very collectible records.
Wow, yeah, wow. Yeah.
I don't know if you've, did you record anything else for that label?
No, well, there was a song that I did also called Love Line, and I'm not sure if they put it under that same label, but I just, during that time, those two songs is what I recorded. Didn't do anything else pretty much because at the time, you know, I was raising my kids, so I wasn't really active, you know, at that time.
Life catches up with you, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and you know, I was born in a rock and roll household, so I was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, be over here with my kids for a while, enjoy my mom and what she's doing and everything, but I knew at some point that I was going to break through.
Yeah, and then recently last year I opened a track on the show that I put out on Soul Discovery.
Yeah.
And you phoned me up. That's me and my mum on the background vocals. And I went,
"Oh, yeah.
What? Shall we play it?"
Yes.
I'll leave the mic over if you want to join in.
Okay.
Incredible piece of music, Afridis. Yeah. Wow. I just can't believe I've been playing that all them years. I bought that as a brand new release in 1990, late Michigan Records, and no details whatsoever. Just Afrida James on the front of it, and that's it. Nothing else.
Yeah.
And you, Robbie Love, and Mary Love on background vocals. How?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I remember when she wrote the song and she was thinking about Afridis on it, and it was perfect. My mother absolutely loves Afridis' rendition and interpretation of what she wrote on that song. She really absolutely loved it. So she did such a wonderful, excellent job on that lead, gave it the meat that she was looking for, because you can really feel what she's saying in those lyrics on in her inflection of how she's interpreting it. Yeah
sign of a good quality record and a good singer as well, but had two fantastic background vocal singers as well.
Thank you so much, Mick.
So that label, do you know anything about the late Michigan Records label, or was that just a one-off on that label?
Yeah, it's like pretty much probably the same situation that I just explained, you know.
Why do you do that? Just drop these singles on these labels and then go elsewhere? Why don't you stay at one label?
Yeah, I know. All over the place, you know. I really can't explain it, but it happened, you know. I'm just getting adjusted to how everything is just, you know, the business is now. You know what I'm saying? It's a learning experience, that's for sure, you know.
Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. And Robbie Love, now to you, more or less, you're really, really hitting the ground running, and you're making big noises right across the world at the moment with your vocals and your songs and your production and your songwriting. Let's take your first track that's on your own record label, and it was groundbreaking. Is it 2 years ago now? Is it 2 years?
It was released on my mom's birthday last year. You're talking about 24/7?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah, I've jumped the gun there. But it was dynamic, the way you just came out of the blue and made everybody sit up and notice you. And you, what a voice. Let's listen to this. Mm-hmm. And feel free to sing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The way you make me feel all day.
Gone, girl.
You got me, boy. Can't fight this feeling.
Your love.
Got to have it. I'm hooked on you like a habit. When you touch me, I shiver. Can't get enough of your love. 24/7.
Yeah.
Wow. What an incredible record. Live on the phones, Robbie Love, Los Angeles, California. My culture, Robbie Love, and out of the USA. Robbie,
yes.
That record, it gets stronger and stronger the more you hear it.
Wow. I was feeling it, Mick.
Yeah, wow. So
I was just giving it what I was feeling, you know.
So what brought it? Why now? Why with that record? What brought you back?
Well.
To yourself. I know you were working. You were working with lots of other artists and helping mm-hmm. and doing stuff. Because you were touring. You were touring with opening up for the acts of like Loose End, Howard Hewitt, etc., mm-hmm. and even the Roy Ayres. We'll talk about him in a minute. Roy, okay. you were working with people like that, and mm-hmm. but that was opening acts, and then suddenly you become to the front runner now.
Mm-hmm.
People,
yeah,
like,
I was still in the grooming process. You know, I was born and raised in it and everything. You know, but I was. You know, in the company of those absolutely wonderful musicians and entertainers and people, I was still in the grooming aspect of everything. And I knew the time when it was time to come that I would know it clearly. Recording that song, it was clear. With Mbaji Ridgel, who wrote 24/7, he's also the co-writer of Falling Like Dominoes for Donald Byrd. And
I know it, yeah.
Oh my God. I you know, it was amazing. Mbaji used to come to my shows here and I didn't know who he was. And so he introduced himself finally, still didn't know who he was. We exchanged numbers. I knew he was in the business some kind of way, but I didn't know until someone told me that he co-wrote Falling Like Dominoes. So when I finally talked to him, I almost screamed, Mick, because I'm a huge Donald Byrd and Black Byrds fan. I mean, as a little kid, because, you know, we were exposed to all kinds of music. But the Black Byrds and Donald Byrd and Falling Like Dominoes is one of my absolute favorite songs as a child and even now. So when I found out that he wrote this song, I almost literally screamed. I was said, "No, Mbaji, you're the man."
And he's really humble about it, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And so we have been talking about working together for about 4 or 5 years, even before we released 24/7. And so, but he sent me the track, and actually, my daughter was there with me when he sent the track, and we're listening. And she said, "Oh, no, mommy," she said, "yeah, I can hear you singing that song." I said, "Really, Janae?" She said, "Yeah, I can hear you, mommy." I said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." And so I did the song. My son actually was there when I recorded the version that you hear. So yeah, my kids were kind of like involved too with the process. So that made it really cool. But yeah, it was just time, Mick. It was time for me to do it. And I'm so glad I recorded the song and just pulled the trigger actually on this whole thing. But, so yeah.
And it's exploded, hasn't it? It really has.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's. You worked with Roy Ayres. Roy Ayres was a legend to me. He was to a lot of people, but like you were saying with Donald Byrd and the Blackbirds, I grew up with them guys, but Roy Ayres had such a massive influence on my music knowledge. And there was a guy called Martin Faulkner, who's not with us anymore, but he was the guy that introduced me in about 1977 to Roy Ayres. And he had everything that Roy Ayres ever did. And Roy Ayres used to come over and do gigs over in the UK. And I remember one January Christmas in 79, I think it was, we didn't think anybody was going to turn up because it was snowing so heavily, and he was at the he was at the California Ballroom, which held about 2,000 people. There was coaches from all over the UK trying to get in to see Roy Ayres.
Wow.
And it was an incredible, and when he done Running Away, there was no one's feet were on the floor.
Because oh my God, don't you know? I know. Oh, yes. That one song right there. Oh, yes. It's an energy that flows through that song, a frequency that just people just automatically just rise and they feel it inside of themselves, their souls or something. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Recently, he's passed away, which is very sad for the whole of the music industry. I caught him about four or five times over here with the likes of Gene Kahn, Tom Brown, etc., the New York scene. What was it like working with him as you as an artist with him collaborating?
It was like, wow, absolutely. I'm just trying to find the words. It was such a wonderful life experience. I knew when I was 10 years old that I was going to meet Roy Ayers. I know it sounds funny, but we had the Mystic Voyage album. And on the back of the album, if you remember, there's six people. There's Chico, there's Chica's Chano, Ricky Lawson, Roy Ayers, Byron Miller, and Calvin Brown. I knew when I was 10 years old that I was going to meet Roy Ayers. I just knew it. And so lo and behold, in 1997, I met Calvin Brown, who eventually became my husband. Yes. So I ended up meeting Roy Ayers. So it's amazing how the universe works, Mick.
That's not fair. Come on. You fall in love. And you have the idol of the music that you've always loved into one. You can't keep doing that.
Oh, my God. It's so amazing. When I met Roy Ayers, man, I told him the story, too. He said, "That's amazing, Robbie." I said, yeah, and he felt me, too, because Roy is he's a spiritual guy. You know what I mean? He understands the flow of the universe and how things happen, you know. And he was the type of person that he enjoyed you when you with your craft, and he wanted to give you an opportunity so he can just watch you flourish. And I used to just sit there and watch. He would be watching me, and sometimes when I'm on stage and I'll just say or sing something, and he'll just scream out loud, and it felt good because if he's screaming, that means that I'm doing something right, you know. But he was such a beautiful human being. He loved people. He loved life. He was giving. He wanted to make sure everyone was okay that was around him. His music was genuine. His music was him. His music was walking him. He was walking his music. He's so amazing. He used to tell me, Robbie, don't ever stop singing. He said, "Don't ever stop singing."
Let's take one of his tracks, one of your favorite tracks.
Okay.
Can't you see me?
Yes.
I'm on top of the world.
Everybody.
Can't you feel me? To be real. I feel so good inside. Won't you come stand beside me? Although your love you had, 'cause you are so exciting. Can't you feel me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
won't you come step beside me?
Incredible, the late, great Roy Ayres, just an incredible guy, touched everybody in the music industry, far and wide throughout the world, and it's just not our genre of music, he touched every sort of genre of music, because everybody used to think, oh, I can borrow that, I can take that from that record and put that onto that record. Yeah, that record, yes. Can't You See Me, Polydor Records on a 12-inch record. Only Roy Ayres stuff on 12 inches because he always put an extended bit on the edge of the 12 Polydor records, which he stayed with for a long time. On the phones, live from California, USA, Robbie Love. Robbie, where are we going now? What's happening with you? Because you've got a single that's just recently come out before. Was it before Christmas or just after Christmas? I can't
remember. Yeah, Let's Not Say Goodnight.
Yep.
Yeah, before Christmas. Yes.
Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah. See? Uh-huh. Time flies.
Yes, I know. Yes. And then after that, we had another release covered at the beginning of the year.
You came over to a British label.
You know, why not? Why not? Actually, it's a perfect union, if you ask me. You know, the UK has shown the Love brand and the Love legacy so much absolute love, man. Why not? I'm in love with you guys, man, and thank you so much for everything. Yeah.
Patrick Biggerstaff, Izippo Soul Records, he released it on a 7-inch record. It's done phenomenal, hasn't it?
Yes, yes, it has. Wow, such a wonderful experience working with Patrick and Julian Jonah, man. Just wonderful, Mick. Thank you.
Yeah, and Julian Jonah, a fantastic producer and writer as well.
Yes, you know, just incredible. Isn't he?
Yes, yes. But I'm saying because of your vocals done a lot for that. So yeah. You all deserve credit. And well done to Patrick for getting it out and doing the groundwork on it. That was good.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, when you're working with visionaries, that's what happens.
Don't call him that, please. Oh, dear. Let's have a listen to the track. This is incredible. This is Let's Not Say Goodnight, the full-length version, Julian Jonah featuring Robbie Love. Absolutely incredible. And of course it's on Izippo Soul Records.
This could just be a moment, the kind of night we never want to end. When the fun is over, I want to start and do it over again. So just let our feelings flow, take a love ride anywhere you want to go. Memory.
available on iZippo Soul Records. Some are still available if you want to go and have a look on Patrick Bickerstaff's site. There is a write-up on the Soul Discovery website. And, of course, there's a write-up with Robbie's bio on there as well. Have a look. I'll be updating that in the next couple of days, so have a look out for that. Let's not say goodnight. That's the A side. We'll play the B side in a minute. So, will you be working with Ambaji again?
Yes, absolutely. We I've got a lot of recording that's coming up real soon. As a matter of fact, I'm about to record today, actually, with Ambaji. Next week, we're going to be recording some songs that we wrote together.
I should have waited a couple of more days. I could have played it. I could have played
well,
it.
Well, you already know. I'm going to keep you posted. You don't have to worry.
Well, we won't mention it, but you hopefully be coming to the UK shortly, yes?
Yes, absolutely. I am so looking forward to it. So it's going to happen. I know. I believe it. Yeah.
Who are you looking to work with?
Wow. That's so amazing. There's so many different people that I'd like to work with. And I really want to do some more work with Julian Jonah,
yeah,
because I really like what we did. Really do. I like that whole connection there. I don't know. Make this just really wow. I want to do some stuff with Wally Ali. That's in the making. That's definitely something that we're going to talk about soon. We've had the discussion before, but we're really going to have it again this time because I want to do something with him. He is absolutely a phenomenal vocalist and musician.
He's really excited. I think you've rekindled him. He's come back to the forefront again. He's got all excited. He's got all his ideas. So that is exciting news. A genius like him. Genius.
Well, oh my God.
That'll be you and him, two geniuses together, working together.
Oh, that would be so wonderful. I can't wait. Well, you know, as far as live shows are concerned, Wally Ali and I have worked together for many years. Over the years, we did some wonderful shows together. So we definitely are familiar with each other on that stage and everything. So it's going to be nice. And one thing I like about him, he brings out the best in me. You know, it's like when we're there, he's so great. It's just that artistically, he just brings it out of me. I've had some wonderful shows and experiences with Wally Ali. So I am so looking forward to our new ventures.
Okay. And I'll put some ideas forward to you as well, who you should work with, if you don't mind.
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
I don't like to impose on you. I just think you're a phenomenal person, not just a singer, but a phenomenal person. You're so nice. And it's very, very hard in certain parts of the industry to actually talk to people that are really nice. And you are one of them. You are a gem.
Oh, thank you so much, Mick. I really appreciate you so much. You know that. I'm just me, you know. I'm me. And everything that you see, you hear, is all a part of how I've been groomed and my makeup. And my mom, she's such a pivotal part of everything. I stand on a lot of great shoulders, you know, and I know it, and I'm very grateful for it. And so I just want to grow in grace, enjoy you know, my craft and my gift, and you know, making people happy, man. That's what it's all about. All of that other stuff is like extra. For me, it's just like, let's enjoy life. Let's have a good time. Let's make each other feel good while we're here.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, right, let's go. I'm afraid that's the end of the interview because we're running out of time and I don't want to take your time up much longer. But I wish you all the success. And 2025 is going to be a huge year for you. And watch out, everybody. It's going to be crazy.
Aw, you know, you're an absolute gem. You already know how I feel about you. Thank you so much, Mick, for everything. Thank you for this wonderful, candid interview and taking your time out to spend with me.
And anything you'd like to say to the listeners?
I just want to say to the listeners out there, hey, thank you so much for embracing Robbie Love and the Love brand. Coming up with some more new music soon. Also, too, just a little bit, I'm going to cover a couple of my mom's things as well. We got some things coming up as far as she's concerned with a documentary and just to keep the Love legacy alive and to keep my mom, you know, evolving with me in my career.
Robbie Love. Thank you very much. A wonderful, wonderful person. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart, and I'll talk to you later.
For